All right,
Cool.
and we are kicking off. Today was meant to be a roundtable episode, but as we have been super busy, I didn't actually post the details until, just a few hours ago, and so we really had a chance to respond. As such, we are going to be kicking off the roundtable episode as just the hosts. It's going to be Andrew and I and Amanda, who is joining us any moment now. Bam, and there she is. And so, since we have the California retreat coming up in just a few days, and we're all going to be hanging out on Thursday, fuck yeah. And then in the LA area until approximately, I believe, the 18th, that's going to be a lot of fun. Amanda, thanks for joining us. Appreciate that you could be here today.
Great to see you, Amanda. Very excited. Well, we have two full days left Thursday afternoon.
We'll be
We'll
arriving there around this time.
California is going to be incredible. I'm very, very excited because I'm definitely feeling more relaxation and volatility these days. And so I think that's oftentimes the case leading up to retreats, and it's excitement. It's excitement. But it's so I'm super excited for to meet everyone and see everyone, because there's a number of people who have been in a lot of our groups coming to this retreat, and never met them in person. So very excited. But Amanda, great to see you. How you doing?
Yeah, I am surprised it's just the three of us. When you guys said that, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, that's cool. I love chatting with you both, and I'm very excited for the retreat, and it is only 2 days away, and time is both flying, and yet it feels like it's still being savored. It feels like I lived 2 days today, so, and we're not even done with this day technically. And I'm just like, it's only Tuesday. It can't just be Tuesday. And so, but it flew. Like I was working and kicking butt, and then I'm chatting with my neighbors, and I went on a walk, and then I, microdosed with my lunch, and then, so, time is just, we're just dancing. And I actually did dance when I went on my walk, and I was just dancing by the college that's near me, and was just having a fucking blast. And then I didn't notice that there was people like in the trees near me, and I definitely was like, oh shit. Didn't know that there were people there, but hey, we were jamming, and hopefully they feel like it was a beautiful day, and it, just so many people are outside. And then when I was chatting with my neighbor, he was like, there are people outside. I was like, yeah, it's a great day. It's a beautiful day. Like, why would you not expect to see more people outside than like on our snowy day? But he was like, it's too much. And I was like, no, it's perfect. We need to be outside. We spent so much time inside because working from home, post-COVID, all of this, and everyone's been almost like accidentally reclused. And so it feels really good to see people out there. And I'm like chatting, like, hey, and like talking. I just, so clearly, I am enjoying my day. I'm really glad that I get to be here with you guys.
That is awesome. Yeah, there is, and even just remembering COVID and how locked down everyone was for a while, like you remember things like that. It's kind of like remembering a time you were injured, like really bad, and how much you were just like, or like really sick or something. You're like, oh, I was just feeling healthier right now. Like that's the only concern is when, there's something going on like that. And so, yeah, having that perspective is exciting. But yeah, COVID definitely allowed for certain degrees of hiding. And I think the social media potential that came from that, certainly was the case. I'm feeling all sorts of that these days, like feeling very much exposed and getting a sense for myself, and like the reality of that. And it's there's an excitement to it and like fear and concern, but mostly excitement, because it's like there tends to be less expectation if you're not holding on to so much of an idea. But then it's like you're left with seeing yourself. And yeah, it's interesting how many sort of perspectives can get in the way of the reality of yourself, because you never really have any degree of certainty with how something's gonna be taken in. But the ones that we use to try and feel better can certainly be some big walls, you know? So.
Oh, fuck yeah. Definitely. I was definitely thinking that earlier today. It was just like, I was thinking about certain things that other people had done. And then I was like, I don't like that. And then I was like, well, why don't I like that? I was like, because I think that it should be, I think that it's impacting me in some way. And, you know, I was thinking about like how people spend their time. And I was thinking about, you know, how much, as much as I hate to admit it, like I do still think about trying to like get people to like get people's time. And then I thought about it. I was like, if you're so like, if you want so much time, you have all of your time, you know? So it's not that I need someone else's time. It's not that I need someone else to spend their time in ways that are with me and not with me, right? So when someone's not hanging out with me directly, but I don't really like how they're spending their time, I was like, yeah, well, get off your high horse, Amanda. You wanna control someone's time? Control your own fucking time. Control how you spend your time. Control how you are your time. And then you don't really think about how someone else is spending their time or judging it. And then thinking about that, the way that I'm judging it is only because I'm really trying to maintain this separation that they are different than me, that they are not me. And so a great way to maintain that is to just kind of judge. And it's like, I only judge you after I've already judged myself. And I've judged myself as making the right choice. And if you're not making that choice, then you are fucking up my whole game, guys, you know? And then I was just like, but I don't know. And so I spent a lot of time today just in between working and chatting and dancing and being out there and talking to people. It just, you know, when I found myself in those thought loops, it was just like, I just don't know. I just don't know what's best for me. And I don't know what's best for someone else. And as much as I may feel like I don't like how someone is spending their time, or I think I could spend their time better, or they could do what I'm doing, it's like, yeah, but even I don't know if that's best for me. How I think I'm spending my time, how I think that I'm making the right choice. I said, I just don't know. And I don't need to know, because I can just pay attention, and I can pay attention to how I'm feeling. I can pay attention to how I'm holding on. And, you know, it just felt like the idea that I wanted to maintain, just, I didn't want to hold on to it, because it was just coming at such a high cost. And I was making myself miserable because I was thinking about how I spend my time, how people do that. What are people's choices? What are my choices? What does that mean about me? What does that mean about them? I'm judging me. I'm judging them. And it just was like, and I just don't have to do that. And then I just was like, well, we're going to go for a walk. And then the walk turned into a dancing adventure, and then talking, you know, chatting with people. And I'm like dancing around people as they're, because I went to a college. There's a college near me and people are working. That didn't stop me. I'm like roboting around somebody who was doing like a delivery. So somebody's like looking at me and I'm just like, excuse me, nothing to see here. You know, and you're just roboted around the van. And I probably look like the craziest fucking person. And I'm like looking for a water fountain. And it felt really good to just act like I was just living for me and only I was watching, and I didn't have to judge what I was watching. And it felt really nice to just practice that and to apply that. And despite getting looks, despite looking at myself with that judgment, it felt really nice to just be like, and we're just going to, you know, boogie on out of that and just not hold on to it, because I didn't have to. And the rest of my time was still waiting to be savored and enjoyed, because it was always there, because I'm always there.
Yeah, we did a social stream before this and somebody had asked, you know, what would you say is like the first step in letting go and really being my authentic self? It's like, admit you don't know. It's really it. Just admit you don't know. That's pretty much it. It undercuts everything, because from there, you're paying attention. Like, because you don't know. And you'll notice all of your attention that is currently being used is on what you want to pretend you know. Right? That's why it's taking up all of that attention. That's why you feel frustrated when it's threatened. That's why you have to, you know, build it back up and defend it and do all that. But if you let go of that fiction that you think you know, that you want to believe you know, that there's almost a desperate need to feel like you know, you'll find that you're paying attention. And you're getting more out of your life. And it's really just the willingness to admit you don't know and you can't know. And then you get to deal with the frustration of like, why do I need to know? That's a great question. Why do you need to know? Where are you trying to get? What does it mean about you? You're here for a long fucking time. You know, really going to keep chasing those fucking, that value? You're going to chase that pot of gold? You're going to keep doing that? I mean, that shit's exhausting. And the gold is heavy.
It certainly is. And as soon as it's some, you know, something, some idea, it's like there's immediately expectation. You know, the expectation can settle in so quick, and like just feeling that sense of control, like just the sense of control. Like if you are dancing outside and you're like, oh, I'm going to stop because therefore I won't be judged. But how much are you missing out on someone? Like if I see someone, you know, doing the robot like this around town, I'm like, fuck. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for being alive and actually living and not rigid, shoulders up, scrunched, looking around all the time, you know? And so like, I very much appreciate that. And we can live our lives not based on that, like just, oh, well, I would appreciate if someone was willing to do that, but it can certainly be a consideration.
It's a nice spillover.
Yeah.
Right? Like you're not doing anything that causes harm.
Yeah. Yeah. At all.
Like what else is there? Like think of, that's really it. That's the only consideration. Yeah. It's like, my God, your dancing is threatening me. It's like, you're going to be okay. You know, you're going to be okay. Like you're not in any way causing harm.
I don't see blood yet. I don't see blood yet.
It's all just like, I'm offended. Yeah. Congratulations.
And would you like me to do something about that?
But I'd almost like to respond like a robot. You're offended. Affirmative. They're like,
indeed, you are a great.
Fuck you. Affirmative. Received. Fuck you. Received. Bam. 0011001.
It's just that. I mean, and it comes down to our own fear. You know, at the end of the day, that's really all it is. You know, we don't want to rattle any boats because, dear God, we might not be liked. You know, and because being liked is the most important thing to us, that's really what we assume is the most important thing to everybody else. You know, it's just, it's so bizarre how we do all of this instead of just going, wow, I'm really thinking about myself a lot. And that's so misleading, too. Somebody asked that, you know, the other day. I don't remember who or when. just like, how do you stop judging yourself? At one point it was just by reminding myself like that doesn't do anything. Now it's just straight up, I never was. Like I've never been judging myself. I've always been judging a fiction. I've always been judging an idea, a concept, an oversimplification, an assumption, an illusion, whatever the fuck you want to call it. It ain't fucking me. And I have been judging it like it is. And that's very much what changed everything for me, was the recognition that I'm not thinking about myself. You're not thinking about me. You're not thinking about you. You don't actually see anyone. Right? It's all fiction. It's all concept. It's all assumption. And if you let it go, suddenly you have more insight and more empathy. And you process a lot more from moment to moment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it's like there's space if it isn't the focus and the priority. And like, because as soon as it is, it's like every situation has some sort of veil. And like that uncertainty is just, it's like the uncertainty is tried to be controlled in a bunch of different ways. And we can almost get to a point where we feel like, oh, I do have control of this because I have certain responses or things that have worked in the past, like things that have played out and given me what I wanted, or responses in a certain way that, you know, someone did appreciate. But if that's always relied upon, I had a point that was going and it just went like, if there's a way to rely on the sense of control and not needing it and assuming that, and here, all right, I'm not even going to try. And right there, it's like, there's, I don't know. That could have been the end of it right there. You know?
Well, I think that's a way to segue. Right? Like, isn't that funny? Like, it's like, oh, wow, that reel really trailed off and made room for something else. And for something else. You know, it's just assumption. We're like, no, that's what was supposed to be there. It's like, maybe not. Maybe there was nothing wrong with you trailing off. Maybe that's a sense of timing more than a sense of failure.
Yes. Right?
We don't take that shit in, though, because obviously there's something wrong if I'm judging it.
Yeah, we just don't. There's more than one option, right? You know, I definitely was taking a look at the way that I showed up in my longest friendships. And I used to prioritize them so much. And I used to get upset when they wouldn't prioritize me. And then I was thinking about that earlier today. And it was like, I was really upset that they didn't put me first because I didn't. And because I put them first, I thought that they should put me first in response. And it was like, yeah, but I don't have to do that. There's more than one way. And I have made adjustments in my friendships and the way that I show up. And guess fucking what? I'm still friends with those motherfuckers. So it's like there was more than one way to be a friend with people that I have known for 2 decades, 10, 15, 20 years. And it was like, I don't have to show up one way. There's more than just one option. But when I settle on one option being the only option, that's all I see. That's all I want to maintain. And of course I feel like it gets threatened or I get upset and then I'm upset with someone else and their option. And it's like, yeah, but instead of being upset with what you chose, pay attention to what's available right now and make a choice with all of those considerations. And if the friendships didn't last, then they really weren't built on mutual respect. And it's a good thing that as I change, you know, sometimes I grow apart from people. And it's not that I won't ever see them again or that we won't ever connect again. It's just that we're not resonating right now. But if I'm always trying to maintain this concept, I like that you had said, like, you know, we want to be liked. And it's like, yeah, but they're not even liking you. They're liking the mask. They're liking the performance. That's not you. So you want so hard to be liked, but you won't even show someone yourself because you won't even show yourself to you. You won't even be authentic with yourself. So of course you don't want, you know, like, of course it's upsetting, but it's like, yeah, but that's not the only thing that's on the table. Just be honest with yourself. And then with that honesty, there's, like you had said, Andrew, there's space. And in that space, you can just pivot. And you can just choose an option that you never even considered to be available to you. And not because it wasn't, but because you wouldn't let yourself see anything other than the one choice you said was best.
Yeah, that was the wall that finally did it for me, that drove me towards suicide. It was, you know, after years and years and years of trying to be different people. You know, and eventually being surrounded by people who they were all like, oh, I raised the best, blah, 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 blah. To recognize it was never me, you know, that all of the, and I remember very distinctly sitting in a party that I had thrown that had a lot of people surrounded by people feeling alone. And this is why when people are like, oh, you know, I feel lonely, I feel isolated, I need to be around more people, I'm always like, that's not going to solve it. They're like, yes, it will. It's good for people. It's human contact. It's going to solve it. It's like, no, man, you're still going to be able to fucking think about yourself and put yourself in a hole. It does not matter. It does not matter. You know, it really comes down to you and your relationship with you all the time. You know, and it's just that we want other people to do the work that we're not willing to do ourselves. Tell me I'm valuable, you know, and be believable. Have some credibility. Would you, you know, like that kind of thing. And it really just comes down to that. I do want to take a brief moment because we have people watching right now and we have people watching over here as well. Hello, everyone. We have an investor presentation tomorrow. Very excited about this. 7 p.m. Eastern time, 4 p.m. Pacific time. If you would like to invest in Dualistic Unity, the podcast, the community, the whole thing as it goes forward and grows from here, this is an ideal time to do it. This is the very first round of funding that we're going to do. Anybody who does want to invest at this point and does want to invest in owning equity can do so. This is the first opportunity for this. So if you'd like to, dualisticunity.com/invest. Let us know that you're interested. If you can't make the presentation tomorrow, no problem. We're going to have a video copy of it available after the fact. Just email us, fill in the form, and we will send you a link to it once we're done. Because we'd love for you to take a look at this, peruse it in your own time, check it out at home, you know, and get back to us. Because right now, with everybody who has already been aware of this, we've already had approximately a little bit over $110,000 that's been offered to us by the community. And these are not huge portions more often than not. Like, we're talking between $250 to you know, a couple of tens of thousands of dollars. It really is what people can do. And if you fill in the form, and I encourage you to, you know, check out and do fill in the form, recognize there's no obligation there. If you're just giving us an idea of what you might want to invest, just so we can have an idea of what we might be able to do with it before the presentation happens. That's more or less it. Because we have a plan. It's just we don't know how much we're going to be able to raise this time around. This is the first round of funding. This is going to change a lot of things for us moving forward. We've grown this organically for 2.5 years off of volunteer time from everybody involved, right? Amanda is one of those people. She was the first one to really put in the time out of her own fucking life. Like, when she could have been just chilling, kicking back, dancing, doing the robot, she was putting in fucking hours doing admin shit and helping us keep tabs on what we're doing, helping us run the retreats. You know, Fiona, Jackie, Oren, these are all people who are putting in time. Jazz, shout out to Jazz, running the Discord, making that shit awesome. This has all been as a result of the foundation of this community, as a result of the fact that it's meaningful to each of us individually. The journey is meaningful to us individually, and that is going to be what this continues to be. So if you're interested in being in this, if you are interested in owning a part of it, we're offering up to 20% of Dualistic Unity, the company, right now, the podcast company. So if that's something that interests you, you don't even have to invest in equity. If you just want to invest for the ROI, that's also a solid investment. We're quite confident about how this is going to continue to grow. We've had a solid year. We've had 10 retreats in the last year, if that gives you any indication of exactly how much ground we are making at the moment. So dualisticunity.com/invest. I'm going to shut the fuck up now. And that's how you land the fucking plane. Bam!
That was perfect. Solid pitch, dude, because yeah, I'm very excited for that, because there's so many things, there's so many opportunities once we do get some more resources, like after this round with like getting the advertising out there as this grows, because like everything's in place right now, everything, like the base is there, and it's just some sort of igniting sort of fork, because again, it's like we haven't paid for advertising much at all
outside of the testing, which is why we're so confident in where we're putting this money.
Yeah,
like we've tested, we've done beta testing, we understand what works, what our ROI is, how much it takes to get a new audience member, what the churn rate is for those new audience members over the long term, how to use our money effectively just through clever advertising and using a video that's frankly fucking challenging. You know, rather than just getting as many people as possible to the podcast, we want people who are ready to fucking work for it, because those are the people that are going to do the most with it, which is why we have such a solid community. It's why we have 40 community topics episodes. It's why we have daily live streams. It's why we have group discussions. It's why we have live events. It's because everybody's fucking engaged to an extreme level, because it's meaningful to them and it doesn't require them to follow or believe or convince or do any of that. You don't have to do anything. Just being here is the ripple. So if you happen to have some extra cash, you know, you'd like to be here and throw a little bit into the pond or into the pile, it makes a difference. And if you're curious about how much of a difference it makes and where it goes, come and check out this presentation, whether you can make it after the fact or not. This is going to be amazing. Like, I couldn't be more excited. I've dealt with investor proposals. I have dealt with companies expanding. I've dealt with startups. I have dealt with all kinds of companies that at the end of the day, were hyping it way more than anything else on the hope that just the money would make this shit happen. It's already happening. It's already happening. It has deep roots. It has deep roots. And the only thing we're doing now is sprouting, and it's going to explode. So if you want to be involved, now's the time. You know, I couldn't be more excited. I've waited 20 plus years to see something like this actually just be. I never thought I'd see it. I never thought I'd see it. And so it's nice to be able to talk about something without hyping up what it is, because I know what it is. I know where this is founded. I know how much work we've all put into doing this without making it about ourselves. Not just the hosts, but everybody in the groups, everybody in the Discord, everybody. Yes, the presentation will be available online afterwards. We will send a link to everybody who fills in the form, just so that way you can take a look after the fact. We'll also post it on Patreon for everybody who's on Patreon, just so you can check it out as well, because it's really exciting. Like, it's not just a podcast. There's stuff happening. There's a lot. I couldn't be more excited. So check it out. I'm going to shut up again now.
No, I'm loving the pitches, because yeah, it's exciting. And so anyone who is interested in getting involved or just hearing a little bit more about, you know, what all the things going on we have are, because it's so much in the way of just opportunity. And like, oh man, there's so much on the table. There's so many different things that, yeah, we could do with this stuff. So yeah, super excited for that. And yeah, just to reiterate, everyone who is involved and has been involved and has helped out and has even just like tuned in to any sort of live or episode, or, you know, paid a tiny bit of attention or not, and just have been living your life and expressing yourself and wondering, you know, why there needs to be so much of this idea that, you know, we aren't going through the same experience all the time. Because when that's really taken in, it shifts the weight, or it shifts your focus at least. And therefore the weight usually comes with that. So as it shifts, but yeah, I'm stoked. I'm very excited and looking forward to seeing some people out there. So definitely scan that QR code.
Oh yeah. No, it's going to be very cool. And Amanda, I can't tell you enough, like, how grateful we are for all of it. Like, you had a whole war table set up not that long ago, a couple weeks back, and you sent us a photo, and actually you put a digital copy online as well. Like, that's all huge, because there's a lot that we want to get into. There's a lot that we want to get involved with. I think one of the most solid, you know, business ends on this is the simple fact that we've held 10 retreats in the last year, and we've through that, I think, sold about, I don't know, near $250,000 in ticket sales. And we've sold out almost every event. Those are all events that we didn't really make any profit on, because we weren't really interested in, but we sure as fuck paid a lot of rent for. And when you look at that in a year, and then you apply that to having a permanent retreat center here on Vancouver Island, immediately you're looking at over $100,000 in revenue in terms of a difference. And that's with knocking the ticket prices down for everyone. Right? Like, that's a lot of savings for all of us. And it's a smart fucking business move. So I'm very excited about that. That is something that's in the business plan. That's something that's in our future. This is something that we definitely want to describe. We also have ideas for some alternative housing. We also have ideas for some new series that has something to do with the podcast. Like, there's so much that we can do. And this presentation just scratches the surface.
Yeah. Yeah. So once we get through this first round with the, getting the advertising out there, it's going to be very exciting to see. But, a lot of the opportunities are with getting land and like the process of getting to that and getting
real estate as well, not real, just land, but right, also
with the buildings and yes, cities and whatnot, and possibly some, what are we on here? Is that TikTok? Yeah.
Are we on TikTok?
We definitely
can't talk about that there.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It usually just restricts it, but yeah, some cannabis housing in different cities and having like a sort of cannabis forward situation where it's all users and, you know, you get possibly grow opportunities within the apartments and like that, yeah, that canvas drink bar.
Oh my god!
On the bottom floor, hangout spaces. So it's
there's a lot. There's a lot because we're working with a lot of cannabis companies right now. Like that's very much it. Is we're working with a lot of cannabis companies. We have a lot of contacts that continue to be made because we have a cannabis specific podcast. You know, Being High with Dualistic Unity. If anybody hasn't checked it out, check it out. We're also doing strain reviews, specifically because I have a history in the cannabis industry and I have a fuck ton of contacts all over LinkedIn. And a lot of them work at these companies that we're doing reviews for. And so it's just a matter of time as we make these connections that they start coming onto the podcast and we start working with them more often. So that said, we have ideas when it comes to encouraging the cannabis culture, the cannabis community as a whole, because it's not just about, you know, not vilifying them, because that's very much what we're seeing right now. Like, it's not illegal, but don't smoke it on my property.
Yeah.
You know, it's not illegal, you know, but don't have it in your house. No plants if you're renting, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, but I'm renting. It's my place. Who the fuck are you? It's legal, you know, but that's not the point. The point is that they still have a stigma. So they can't legally enforce it, but they can tell you what the fuck can do if it's their property. And so we figured, well, fuck that. What'd be really cool is if you had a pro cannabis, not cannabis friendly, pro cannabis. In other words, if you want to live here, you better use cannabis because you're going to be fucking surrounded by it. Not only are you going to be surrounded by it, but as we open our retreat center and our cannabis cultivation center, we're also going to be able to provide it to the residents of the building to have a social area where people can chill out, to have a dispensary downstairs, once again, working with all of our partners and connections within the cannabis community, having a bar that is only cannabis infused drinks on the ground floor to promote that within the community itself. To have a building like that, that would be amazing. To have it actually marketed that way, here's a housing for you. Smoking weed, tired of the stigma? Come hang out with us, you know, that kind of thing. It would be huge. It would solve so many problems for so many fucking people who are straight up looking for a place to rent in secret. You know, it's like, oh God, I better go outside before they see me. I got to go off the property. They got me fucking cameras. Fuck that. Wouldn't that be nice if like every 2 weeks you could just put in a fucking order with the concierge and have it delivered to your door? Right. Why the fuck
sort of
not?
Some sort of subscription service.
So on its face, that sounds really great. But if that's being run by a company that's just looking for profit, you're not going to get any good service. You're not going to get any good weed. You're not going to get anything other than more profit-centric egotism. And who wants to deal with that shit when you're high? No one. And so this is the next extension of the Dualistic Unity podcast, is to go into the cannabis market, to introduce housing that doesn't make people feel fucking afraid, that doesn't make people feel anxious, that doesn't make people feel like they're being judged, where they are welcome to be who they are. And then from there, we talk to all the people who are interested in that real estate venture, who are pro-cannabis, to open a micro-cultivation center with us on Vancouver Island, where we can do cannabis education workshops, where we can have people come to the island. It's going to be a lot of fun while they're retreating, just saying.
Oh yeah. Hanging out, playing games. There's so much we can do on that, on a property like that too. Like we're talking Tree Fort.
Oh yeah. Adventure Center.
Yeah.
You walk paths between the trees and, you know, a rope swing.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, alternative energy, geodesic domes. So that way we're actually able to grow our own vegetables as well as learn some permaculture. We can do some collaboration with natives on the island because there's a huge native population and community out here. And I'm sure they would love to teach us all about the land that was taken from them. I would love to work with them in order to, you know, recognize that we are very much looking at the same underlying mentality. You know, I think there's a lot that we could do there. We're also going to have a fucking karaoke stage. Just throw it out there because we have to. It is going to be a retreat center after all. And so there's going to be people out there. But again, Vancouver Island is one of the nicest places in the world. It's regularly voted in like the top 10 to top 20 as vacation spots on the globe. And so when we're not running retreats, we can quite easily rent this retreat center out, right, for events. There's a lot of profitability, I guess is what I'm saying. But all of that wouldn't be worth doing if not for the foundation of mentality behind it. Because otherwise it's just another exercise in egotism. It's just another exercise in control. And so for us, all of the resources go back into other projects. All of the resources go back into more for you, the listener, to facilitate more space, to facilitate more opportunities, to facilitate more growth. So that way you can come and join us for an ever decreasing fucking price at these retreats. You can come to live karaoke nights. You can come to comedy, live comedy shows about conscious comedy, people who have some modicum of awareness rather than just, you know, trying to do the polarity comedy, right? Like it would be intense. It's going to be amazing. We can have a music festival. We can have wellness festivals. We can help, you know, in terms of community homelessness. Imagine having a community concert where everybody who comes to the concert is able to take a bag of food home. You know, these are all things that we can do if we just had the balls to not be greedy. Like if we just, all of us who's involved with this had just enough self-awareness to know that more money isn't going to make us more, right? To actually have a cap and how much we're willing to make and then putting everything back in, everything, to just keep feeding it in to dualistic unity and the ripple. Imagine that. Imagine that. Imagine if Jeff Bezos was to take all of his value and actually put it into the employees of Amazon, right? To let them know they're valuable. It would change everything. And so this is what we're going to do. We have a cap. We've all agreed to it. If you want to work with dualistic unity, you are never going to make more than a certain amount. Inflation adjusted. Don't worry. We don't, you know, but the point is that we want to be there for you too. We want to help make sure that you're okay, that you have some extra money on top of not being fucking stressed and concerned about your bills all the time. We want to take care of you. We're a family. This is what this is. We're all in this together. It's not even about family. We are each other. And we should act that way. So imagine an organization that is. So if you'd like to join us, dualisticunity.com/invest.
Mm-hmm. We will see you there. Because that one, just wondering, like, what could be done if someone group was willing to just set aside themselves, set aside their preferences, set aside their opinion, you know, and want for how something's going to go. Because that's really, you know, the expectation, you know, that draw of what I, what I want or what I expect or what I expect of myself. Like there's always this sort of gap between yourself and what's actually going on. And so if it isn't there so much, then it's like, there's so much fullness to your own experience that it's like, oh, there's space to spend your time in all different sorts of ways, and you take in what's actually going on. And it starts to feel a little bit more like moment to moment, like a childlike experience, but then with continued awareness, you know, and then it's like, what could, you know, a group do that's doing that? It's like, there's so much on the table. There's so much opportunity when it's not just like, I need to make myself feel better. Like I have to buy this thing. I have to spend this money in this way. I have to do this thing. I have to spend my time in this way in order to feel better. When it was just like, oh, I'm, you know, feeling what I'm feeling. And that's that. And like my response doesn't have to be focused on that. It can still be focused on reality. And then it's like, if that's the case, well, it's possible. That's kind of what we're doing more or less, is wondering. It's like, oh, it seems like, you know, changing the world is crazy, but it's reflective. It's entirely reflective of yourself and how seriously you take that, how much that's trying to be maintained is going to be what you're reflecting at yourself, towards yourself. But if it does stem from you, then there's no one to change really. And there's no one to prove anything to either. And if that's the case, then again, a little more space, and you start seeing things a little bit differently. You start prioritizing your experience right now. Your priorities shift and change, but there is, you know, life starts to feel a little bit more exciting too, a little bit more adventurous. So, yeah, if you are feeling any of that stuff or interested in tuning in, hearing a little bit more about what dualistic unity is all about, scan that QR code. dualisticunity.com/invest. See you there. So.
I saw you mouthing on mute, but I was like, I wasn't gonna go off mute just but I definitely resonate with the mentality that inspired Dualistic Unity, the podcast, to be created. It was within like a month of you guys going live that I, you know, was a Patreon member, and it felt so perfect. It's like perfect timing, because I had just gotten through like spending hours trying to figure out ways to navigate the current system. And so it felt like as a person, you had less rights than if you showed up as a corporation, as a business. And so I was thinking of all these different ways to make these foundations and to find ways to give back, because it just felt like as an individual, showing up as an individual, you couldn't do as much. But if you were a business, if you were a corporation, if you were a foundation, you could have more impact, you could have more rights, you could have more options, you could have more access. And that just felt like the most practical way to not just get screwed by this system. And I love, someone the other day had said that capitalism is a pyramid scheme. And I fucking love that description, because it absolutely seems that way, that capitalism, the very few thrive at the top, just like in a pyramid scheme. And the way that the pyramid scheme works is that the people at the top of the pyramid only make money when new people enter the pyramid. So it's not that the product that they're making actually works and sells, is that they only make money off of other people who attempt to recruit other people to join that system. And so as soon as somebody described capitalism as a pyramid scheme, I was like, holy fuck. And I had definitely been caught up in different ways. I think it was Amway. I was selling Amway at some point. That's a good pyramid scheme. And so like I have been a part of trying to start up businesses by myself, joining startup teams, joining pyramid schemes, doing the traditional college route, doing the traditional corporate route. I tried to work so many angles that it was like, fuck this. I see how the system is implying I could show up. It's like, and so all that research that I did in trying to act as a business, as a group, as something larger than myself, was so seamlessly integrated into everything with DU. Because after the first retreat, I've got notebooks, I've got a good amount of pages of ideas and research and navigating the Canada system and the US system, because it just was like, there's so much that we can do. There's so much influence, so much that we can offer, so much we can learn. And, you know, as long as you're not trying to just get somewhere, and as long as you're not like getting lost in the motions, you know, like you're just going through the motions, I felt like I was the motion. It didn't feel like I was just doing things to accomplish something. It felt like I was the tsunami. I was the force that was moving through. And it just resonated with, you know, what you guys were doing and what you were, you know, what you were trying to embody. And I just felt like this makes more sense than any of the other options that I had picked before. And I didn't have to do it completely by myself. And I didn't have to build things from scratch by myself, because I didn't build the world around me by myself from scratch. And so it makes so much more sense that instead of just thinking about you, the individual, what are you getting out of it? How can I make more money? How can I be more valuable? It's like, we're all in this together. And I used to be upset about the state of the world. Like, this world is fucked up. And then at some point I just realized, yeah, but I helped build this fucked up world that I complain about every time that I am just thinking about me. Every time that I am just trying to benefit myself, I am building this selfish world that I complain about every time I am also just selfish. And so it felt like complaining about the world just didn't actually do anything. And it's so funny, because when I was chatting with my neighbor today, he was complaining about his body being like tight. And I was just like, well, just stretch, you know, you can stretch more. And he's like, no, I'm done for. I was like, yo, there are people that are in their 60s that put me to shame. And I am pretty fucking active. And there are people in their 60s that put me to shame. It's never too late. And he's like, yeah, you know, but I'm just feeling, you know, gruffy, and I want to complain. It's my right. I was like, I don't know if it's a right, but it's definitely an option. But it was just so funny that he phrased being able to complain and bitch about things as like, that's my right. And it's like, it's an option. Because right implies that it's almost sensical. Like, this is my right. This is logical. This makes sense. This is my right. And I'm going to execute my right. It's like, no. In my perspective, you have an option to complain, but after you're done bitching and whining, you're still in the same place that you're bitching and whining about being in. So you can explore other options, because it's never too late. It's never too late, in my opinion, especially when we're talking about just being able to do things differently. So I am very excited for the investor meeting tomorrow. I hope that, you know, if you are considering going, just go, just come, you know, because why not? There's so much that you could learn. And even if you don't actually pick an option, it's really nice to be able to explore options without giving yourself the ultimatum that because you explored it, you have to accept it. You have to pursue it. It's like, just come because you can. And as long as it doesn't, you know, as long as you're not putting pressure on yourself to be the savior complex or to be a part of this new world, it's like, no, show up because you're showing up for you, because you're curious about exploring other ways to show up other than the ways that we've been conditioned to accept as being our rights and as being the only way, because there's always more than one option. So I'm really excited to just continue to explore all of this and to learn and to just show up because we can, you know, not because I'm trying to get anywhere, because right here is as wonderful as anywhere else I can find myself.
Yeah, well said. Yeah. And like for the presentation tomorrow, like showing, like definitely check it out. Cause like I haven't given a presentation in a while and like we're doing a lot right now. And like, I definitely have a build of like energy, call it nerves, call it excitement.
Butterflies.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause it isn't something like, it's something that absolutely just frankly, like with, oh man, I'm getting so many perspectives of myself week. Yeah, I know we were talking about it. And again, it's like, I don't mean to fucking talk about myself, but it's,
you do though.
That's what's,
you're talking about me, sir. I hope you
know. You think you're talking about yourself, but you're talking about all of us.
Yeah.
And you have no choice but to talk about yourself because you're all you experience.
Yeah. Oh man. Oh, so that's just talking. Yeah.
There's another way for you to judge yourself. That's correct.
As I start talking about myself, to assume that I shouldn't.
Correct.
Yep. Oh, fuck.
And so it's like, what? Jesus Christ. Yeah, I tangle myself up.
We
for
all
sure.
Do.
Yeah.
We're very good at it.
Yeah.
Because we're the only ones that can.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Yeah. And so it's like it's a practice. Mm-hmm. It's a practice in letting go of that perspective or even the hesitation to share.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know.
Yeah.
If you try to know.
Yeah.
What should I say? Should I say? Am I talking too much? Am I talking too
much? Are they judging me?
Why? Oh man. Like it can be all like there isn't, oh God, it's just, I don't know. And just fucking carry on.
Yeah.
Like keep fucking rolling. Yeah. So I'm like I'm definitely nervous for the presentation. Like I haven't given a presentation in a while. It's something that with social media, like it's so funny. Cause like I've given presentations too, and it'll still this sense of, well, for so many of them, it was like maintaining this perspective of control as I went through it. It was like ensuring that I was practiced well enough with the words said correctly and memorizing basically. Mm-hmm. And this time around, it's like a different perspective where it's like, I'm not even necessarily concerned about expressing, you know, insecurity or embodying that, you know, because it's going to be what it's going to be. And it's still, I don't know. And so showing up to anything, it's like, you're not going to know one way or the other,
correct?
Like one way or the other of anything. And like, as you express something, it just goes into a fucking void, like a void of perspectives. And so, yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, cause talking through your experience is talking through your experience. And so as I do feel certain builds of energy, even just expressing it is like, yeah, that's there. It's going to be there. It is what it is. And immediately your response doesn't have to be concerned about that specific thing. and keep, you know, keep living. But there's been, it's like trying to hide stuff. It's like trying to hide certain things about yourself. And so, yeah, anyway, the social media stuff, like I may have to just do my, like do a, although I kind of did on social media talking about like realizing how much certain perspectives of yourself can be a wall, and like how I've maintained it for myself despite like not hiding from anyone the entire time. So I'm going through your life, and it does feel like a freeing sort of stripping of a perspective that's, you know, you sort of trap yourself in, but with an intention of, you know, trying to feel better, because that's what everyone's doing. You know, it's just like, think good thoughts. That has nothing to do with reality. That has nothing to do with the reality of what's actually happening and playing out. It's actually quite a large distraction from that, just because, you know, you want to maintain a perspective for yourself despite not being able to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But there's a lot of beat that can come with that.
Well, I think there's another thing to keep in mind, and I think it's easy to forget. This isn't a normal business. This isn't your normal presentation. Like, we're talking about a podcast and a discussion about being yourself. And there are so many people who might have something like that discussion while not doing it themselves. And that's very much what sets this apart, is that we are actively doing that, which includes the presentation tomorrow. See, the presentation tomorrow is not just about the business, but it's by the people doing the thing that the business is about, which mm-hmm. means going to the presentation and just being yourself. It's unlike any other presentation, because it's unlike any other kind of company, because it's unlike any fucking discussion, mm-hmm. right? So there's no way to do this like everyone else. There's no way to do the podcast like other people would podcast, the investor pitch like other people would do an investor pitch, the company like other people would do a company, because this violates all the shit that we normally do so we can make more money. And that's why it's going to work, right? But we forget that. You know, going in blind tomorrow, not blind, we did prepare the slideshow. Going in, you know, recognizing, like, I don't know the exact words. It's exactly the point. And if we're not showing our investors that, what the fuck are we talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
That's a great point.
The presentation is... When you were talking, Andrew, you know, you were like, I haven't done a presentation in a while. And it's like, yeah, but this presentation is different in my opinion, because usually in a presentation, you talk about either something that is so detached from you, what your company is going to do, that is so separated from you, or what you're going to do. And in my opinion, this presentation more so highlights what we are already doing. And I think that that is so different than a typical presentation. We are already doing like 80 fucking percent of what's in that presentation. And the 20% is like the huge moves on the game board that we're building up to. But most of it is all about what we're doing, how we're embodying these insights, how we are showing up for ourselves, not because we have to, not because someone else will think we're good for it, not because that makes us better, but because we're just showing up with no idea how it's going to actually land. We're just showing up for us. And so I think I'm really excited to hear, you know, and be there just to explore the step we're on and how we can just take a closer look at the step we're on and how other steps are on the table. And we're just highlighting that without there being such an emphasis on the next step. This presentation for me really, really embodies the step that we're currently on and how much is in this step right now, how much potential is here right now that we're already tapped into. So it feels unlike anything that I've ever done, you know, in this, for this kind of deck.
Straight up.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, likewise, because it is so much an expression, like what dualistic unity is, isn't even the thing. It's like, it's not this outward thing that you, you know, become. It's something that is expressed by everyone mm-hmm. all the time. And so it can't even be, of course. And I go so back and forth with like just structure and like control and like all the things I ever learned about business, you know, and realizing that, you know, oh, things are going to be different here. Of course, they're going to be, you know, we're going to do things differently, because it isn't even, at the end of the day, it's not even about getting the business to a certain spot. It's like a societal shift through our own shifts, through my own, like, it's not even a business in the reality of what a business is that's being pitched. It's just
expression,
each of us expressing ourselves and just being willing to,
yeah,
you know, and expose ourselves. And I'm feeling all sorts of good and exposed these days, but there's such a lightening to it, you know. It's like, oh dude, I've just been pounding the humble pie recently.
We're avoiding the playgrounds, don't worry.
Maybe we're uncovered, right? Like, you know, because I felt that way after the first retreat, where I was like, I feel like an exposed nerve, and then I was just like, well, you know, I could view it that way, or it could just be that I'm no longer so consistently trying to cover up myself, mm-hmm, with my identity. And because I'm not trying to use my identity and my preferences and my needs as a shield, there's a lot more fucking space when my needs are not taking up all the fucking air in the room. And when I can not necessarily need to wear my identity, I'm only exposed because I'm no longer always trying to cover up. I'm, you know, it's just what remains is you outside of, you know, the very safety blanket that Amanda, I like to keep wrapped around me and make myself into a blanket burrito. I'm like, this is Amanda. She doesn't like this and she doesn't like that. And I like to keep her close, you know. And then I take it off and I was just like, oh, this is fucking great. This is way better to do the robot without the blanket, you know. and just, you know, there's so much more space when my needs and preferences and my identity is not taking up all the space that is always there and available to me.
Well said. Yeah, it does. It really does feel like this space, like it's like room to breathe, room to live, room to actually experience stuff, instead of this, like the tight little box, like the full body clench. It's like, that's the extreme of, at least, you know, what your body can do seemingly involuntarily towards feeling like compression and like focus on yourself. So the other end of that spectrum, it not being so much a priority, which is just, you know, letting go of those opinions, needs. I say just, but you know, there's some stuff there, opinions, needs, preferences, all those things, when that's not at the forefront so much, it's like, mm-hmm, there is space left, but we kind of, you know, use those to guide how we live and what we do. And if that is the focus, like all the time, it's not to say that certain things pop up and it's like, you know, where do you want to go get dinner? It's like, well, I don't necessarily want anything. It's like, what, just give me a restaurant. You know, it's like in just the immediate. Yeah,
if you don't know, everything's right.
Yeah. Exactly. And so then it's like everything's back on the table.
It's, hey, like, hey.
You know, like it's like your mind's almost back on the table instead of being, you know, tucked behind this need, preference, opinion for anything. It's like, that's so much the wall. You can feel, you know, tucked right behind that. But, you know, then you go through experiences and it's like, there's opportunities to look at those and be like, oh yeah, no, I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need that. Don't need that response. I don't need to be looked at in that way. That's okay too. And then you just go through experiences where it's like each and every time you have the opportunity to let go, mm-hmm, of a little bit.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But that's it. Like, this is why dualistic unity means so much to me. It's the answer to the question, what would I do with my time if I didn't need anything? Mm-hmm. This is what I do. I would talk to everybody who still thinks they do. Right. I would bask in my own freedom, but I would have a lot of conversations knowing I was free and that it's possible for everyone. And all of my conversations are dictated by the freedom that I feel. So what would I do with that freedom? I'd hang out with cool people. Yeah. I'd have dope conversations. I'd get involved with fucking amazing things. And that's what dualistic unity is. Dualistic unity is my own personal heaven. Okay. Not the podcast, not the company, not any of that. The expression, being able to express myself without second guessing it, without thinking about it, without ever wondering if it has value, because it doesn't fucking matter. Right? That's my heaven on earth, to live without conflict in myself. And that conversation's worth having. That conversation's worth encouraging. And that's what dualistic unity is. That's why I'm so very excited. It's because it's been growing. It is growing. It's already working. It's already happening, because it's a result. It's a response to the fucking absurdity we're surrounded by. Like, we're all processing this shit. We're going through a mental health pandemic. No, we're going through some fucking disillusion. That's what we're going through. We're fucking bitter that this control thing's not fucking working, no matter how many times we double down on it. Now we're getting kind of bummed out. You know, what do we do about that? Stop banking on control. Give yourself a chance to actually be yourself. Allow yourself to accept what you are now and express that. And that feeling changes everything. Everything. See, it sounds like this talk is nothing about me. It's just pantheism. What is the dividing line between you and everything else other than your concept of yourself? That's all this is about. You know, the you you're thinking about isn't you. That's the reality. The you that you're thinking about is how you soothe your lack of control. It's how you get over the fact that you're totally uncertain. And so you hold on to this idea of yourself so much so that you walk into random conversations where you're judging people based on a very short snippet because you feel so insecure. Mm-hmm. And so it's funny because you're like, oh, this conversation is just about me, while you focus on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Instead of just getting involved in the conversation, because like it's there is a reality of your experience, you know, right now, and then it's that conceptual idea that's, you know, when you start prioritizing the experience of it,
there's the oh so common projection deflect. Didn't see that shit coming.
Oh man, they're really coming for it.
Well, yeah, because this is the obvious thing. Like, this person's in full defense mode now, because all of a sudden we know that they're playing a game simply for themselves, that they're self-absorbed, their head's up their ass. They see nothing but shit because all they're looking at is a way to feel better about themselves. Mm-hmm. And we're calling them out and they don't like it. So obviously we're hostile. We must be triggered, because that's the only thing it could be. It couldn't be that you are just obviously insecure. Couldn't be that. Possibly. It's impossible that it's that obvious, right? Couldn't be.
No chance. No shot in hell. Like, because as soon as it's like, well, maybe it is. Maybe I am a little bit insecure. It's like, then it starts to unravel. And then it's like, oh, yeah. And then you take that in and it's like, there isn't so much of this need to outwardly express. And then, you know, you take in yourself a little bit more, and then there can be the prioritization of your experience for you without needing something for or from someone else. Because that shift in that perspective, like prioritizing your experience, is letting go of that, you know, weight that you put on anyone else too, like expecting them to be a certain way. Because that's mm-hmm. what, you know, prioritizing yourself really is.
Straight up. We have a follow-up. Life isn't about happiness or your selfish carnal desires. If that's what you're chasing, I mean, that's the point. But what is judging everybody else other than a selfish carnal desire? Like, you're just masturbating cerebrally. That's really all you're doing. Like, you're just trying to feel better through comparison to an assumption. Worse, you're not even paying attention to the conversation. You're like, life isn't about happiness or your desires. We never said that. We said express yourself without need, without fear, without that carrot and stick mentality, that to express yourself, not the idea of you that is so lacking, not the idea of you that is so small and afraid compared to a world that you assume you know, not that, but to express what you are without all that. Mm-hmm. So you're just jumping into this, and there it is. What is wrong with judgment? If it isn't obvious by the hell you're currently going through, keep paying attention.
Do you not believe in justice? What I do believe in is personal responsibility. You know, that's what that's what I practice. That's what I apply. That's what I embody, because anytime that I wanted to judge, it was for a way for me to try to get control, but the control was only a way to make me feel better. And as much as feeling better felt quote unquote good, it was more like putting on a blindfold. Feeling better is a blindfold that I put on myself when I want to pretend that I have control. So it's just, I certainly know a one-sided conversation when I see it. And that's what Mr. Sharp is giving me, is a one-sided conversation. And just thank goodness that you're here to tell me how wrong I'm living my life. What would I do without you other than enjoy my life clearly more than you are right now? So, you know, I don't have anything figured out. I don't actually have control. I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm certainly having a lot more fun than you.
You see, but it's always this logical, there's a structure, there's a control, there's a right way, and it all defines me and makes me feel super secure, except when it's threatened, in which case I fall to fucking pieces. You don't believe in objective morality then. This is far more sad than you might think, and I want to say this very clearly. How sad is it that you have to rely on a structured code of morality because you can't have faith in your own sense of empathy? And the reason you can't have faith in your sense of empathy is because your head is up your ass, because you keep thinking about yourself and you can't recognize anyone else because of it, except through the filter of what you need or fear. Mm. That's the point. That's why you need morality. It's because you're out of touch with everyone. You need a set of structures because you don't trust yourself. Why don't you trust yourself? Because you're blind and wandering around knocking yourself into shit. That's why. So while you're sitting there going, there's an objective morality, all I hear is fear. It's all I hear is fear and a lack of willingness to actually be here with your fellow human beings, vulnerable and authentic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how insulting is it that if God's moral code wasn't here, we wouldn't have the capacity to not murder, steal. And, you know, so it's like, that's insulting as hell. Yeah, that. I'm only going to do the right thing because someone told me to do the right thing. I don't have the capacity to understand how not to be incredibly selfish and one-sided. It's like, no, we all have that. You can feel it. And that's the funniest thing about laws, right? It's like, technically laws don't reduce crime. Laws give you a way to punish people for making choices, but laws don't actually reduce crime. So what are we talking about? Like, I need this standard. I need this moral code from God or from the state. And for what? Because you don't have the capacity to understand what it means to be a fucking dick. You don't know what it means to not put yourself first and to not care about anyone else. You don't have that capacity unless somebody gives you strict step-by-step instructions on how not to be selfish. You couldn't do that on your own. I think it's incredibly insulting that you're implying that if we weren't taught how to be kind, we wouldn't be kind. That's incredibly limiting.
It's limiting as shit, for sure. Well, and it's just because he can't see that within himself, or they can't see that within themselves. This is why, again, like, here comes more of it. People are not good. You think you're a good person. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, because God gave you a conscience. So many fictions, so many assumptions, all of which have some purpose in terms of how secure they feel and how righteous they are because they believe in the right way. They believe in the right God, all that stuff. And all of their belief is based on fear. That's the funniest part about it, which is why, you know, it's not based on any degree of clarity, and they won't look at that. You know, they'll never address the fact that their lack of clarity makes their belief super flimsy, right? And easily threatened, which is why they get so upset when somebody doesn't believe in it. So upset, in fact, that they have to judge you as being lower, as somehow not being on the right path, not being in God's good graces and all of that, because they're insecure, which is the foundation of their belief. It's the foundation of everything that they're doing. And it's so interesting because they're like, you know, God gave you a conscience. It's like, again, you're just, you have such an idea of yourself that you have this idea of God that balances it out. You are so limited and tiny and alone and afraid. There must be this large superimposing intelligence that's taking care of you and knows the right way. And it's just sad because all it is a sign of underdevelopment. It really is just a sign of a lack of maturity. You may as well believe in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. Mm-hmm. Like, you may as well be holding on to your blanket over your head, thinking that because you can't see the dangers, they can't see you. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is just a lack of awareness as a whole. And it's just because, again, the alternative is faith in themselves. There it is. Your truth, my truth, everyone's truth, no truth. These are all concepts, man. If you really want the truth, pay attention to reality without thinking about yourself in the middle. Right? If you really want the truth, shut the fuck up and pay attention. But you can't, because all you can do is defend, validate, and try to feel more secure because you're terrified. That's all it is. And you can keep validating in the comment section all you like, and I appreciate that you're doing so, but understand why you're doing so. You're doing so because you're afraid. You're doing so because you doubt. And that's the reason. You ever hear, "Methinks thou dost protest too much"?
Yeah. And because if you take any of that in, you know, if you take in that, even just any expression of concern about something or trying to get something across to anyone or change anyone's perspective, it's like, if that person in response is like, "I'm over here living my life, you can keep ranting and rambling and going about your stuff," but you don't have to even respond in concern at all. Like, no one has to try and prove anything to you or convince you of anything. But, you know, if you're relying on something else or someone else to tell you what to do or tell you the right thing, then you're gonna have to try and maintain that perspective and hold on to it. Literally everyone can do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Doesn't mean there's no.
This is great, though. If God's not punishing us, what will happen? Okay. So literally everyone can do anything they want and there are no consequences. When has that ever been true? Like, just ask yourself, just when has that ever been true? There's always not a consequence, but a ripple. There's always a ripple. So you go around being selfish all you like, there's a ripple. Doesn't mean you're being punished. It means that there's a conflict based on the fact that you lack sensitivity and awareness. That's really all it is. It's like if you walk through a room blindfolded and you knock something over, you're not like, "Someone's punishing me."
That was Satan who knocked over that cup.
It's just the funniest thing. Like, no, what we're saying is that in reality, everything is permitted. You can do it. If you couldn't do it, you wouldn't be able to do it. Think about that. Okay, but that doesn't mean it doesn't have an impact. It doesn't mean there's no ripple that comes back to you. It doesn't mean that there's no lesson. It's just that there's no fucking teacher. Okay, it's that you have the opportunity to learn. It doesn't mean there's someone separate from you teaching you. It doesn't mean that there's something outside of you that suddenly says you need this lesson now. It's very much an organic thing based on what you're experiencing. That's all it is. You know, but it just comes down to having some faith in yourself and your faith in everybody else. Will you be held accountable for what you do in this life? During life. That's happening right now. The fact that you're suffering is your accountability for all the shit that you're invested in as thought. You understand? Like, this is it. You're making your own hell. You keep thinking there's an afterlife. What if there isn't? What if it's just life? What if it's just life forever? Okay. What if there is no death, but just the ongoing experience of living? And you get to learn the same thing over and over and over again. How to align with this experience you're having or not. What if it's that? Right? You're so invested in the afterlife. Why? Because you're squandering your life. Because mm-hmm. you're squandering what's available right fucking now. Because you're not enjoying this gift. And it's not that you can't. It's that you're invested in an illusion that takes you away from this gift. You're invested in trying to feel valuable, trying to feel secure, trying to feel safe. And it causes your hell. Because you would rather reign in hell and feel like you're in control than let go and be in heaven.
It's so often that when I hear people say, "Aren't there consequences?" It's like, consequence doesn't mean punishment. Exactly. And so that's what I think I'm hearing, or that's what I read, is that, are you telling me that there's no consequence? It's like, Of course, the consequence is that you have to live with your choices. The consequence is that you live with the life that you build. That is a consequence. And that's a ripple. For every, you know, for everything, there's an effect. There's something that happens afterwards. There is no choice that's without a ripple. Right. And I remember thinking about how every time I make a choice, somehow there's going to be a negative and a positive impact that people in, you know, experience because of my choices. And there's no way to get that out. There's no way for me to make a choice that only does good, in my opinion, that only does the right thing, because life isn't black or white. It's gray. It's a million shades of gray. And every time I hear someone saying, aren't there any consequences? It's like, yeah, but you have to live with yourself. And you're clearly, or at least I'm getting the impression that your life feels incredibly hard, incredibly heavy, and incredibly difficult, you know, and that's a consequence of the mentality that you're embodying. But the consequence doesn't mean that someone has to punish you for making a choice, because you're already punishing yourself. And the way that I used to think about certain people that would upset me with their choices, it's like, I thought about like revenge, right? And then I thought about that more. And I was like, you know what? The greatest punishment for someone is them living their life as they are. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to make someone feel stupid. I don't have to judge someone. I don't have to make someone feel more insecure. The way that they're living is punishment enough. I don't have to do anything other than not take personally what they did, because that has nothing to do with me. And so consequence doesn't always have to be a punishment. But from your perspective, what I'm getting is that you think that people should be punished because there's one way that everyone needs to live. And that one way comes from something other than you.
Well, and there's a certain degree of, again, cognitive dissonance here. Like, here's a great example. You're just repeating the serpent in the garden, the serpent in the garden narrative, which is fucking hilarious to me, because what you're saying is that it's all gray area. It's all gray area. And what he's saying is there's a right and a wrong way. There's a good and an evil. And that's what the serpent told Adam and Eve, was to invest in the good and evil mentality. Eat from the knowledge of good and evil. It's like, you think someone's listening to the fucking serpent, man? Look in the mirror. Like, if you really want to wonder who the fuck is making the world the way it is, it's people like you. It really is. Like, you think you are so righteous while you divide a big line between you and everyone else, and the world suffers for it, man. Like, that's the whole point. And then you go and you spout a bunch of rhetoric, your spirit in a physical container, your spirit will be disembodied. This is all shit you've read and heard. You haven't thought for yourself for a moment in your whole fucking life. You are just looking for something to cling to. That's all you're looking for. And it's just fear. And you can argue it all day long, but it's obvious here, friend. It is obvious to everyone else that is here. And I'm glad that you're here, because this is all going to be on the screen and people can watch it after the fact. Because this is a conversation that people who are having this discussion are going to run into a lot. And it's so important that you recognize that while you can address all of this stuff, there's no way to convince this person of anything, and you don't need to. Because they're going to keep suffering and suffering and suffering until they finally become disillusioned with control. When they finally become disillusioned with the idea of themselves leading them to any sense of happiness, they will start to actually think for themselves. But right now, they're almost overly invested in the afterlife being the place of happiness, that they may squander their entire life. They may squander every moment between now and death, waiting for something instead of actually experiencing it now. You might.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind. You know, you don't believe in objective truth. I don't believe in anything, because they're all concepts. Reality remains. But you remember, everything you're thinking is about you. Who says I'm suffering? It's obvious you're suffering. It's obvious that you're suffering, man. Like, it's obvious. It's more than clear by the way that you must self-validate, the way that you disconnect yourself from everyone else, the judgments that you have of yourself, humanity as a whole, your need for irresponsibility, your need to feel guided, your need to feel like you're on the right path. These are all very clear indicators that life sucks for you. You know, and you may not want to look at it, because then you'd have to change. So instead, you're going to suffer and ignore it, and try to distract yourself through judgment, through assuming things about other people, so you can feel a little bit more valuable for a short period of time before all the doubt, all the fear, and all the isolation comes crashing down in the middle of the night when no one's there to distract you from your shit.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sorry, man, but we all know it, because we've all been through it. You are not, you know, a unique case. We hear your story every day of the week, and I have for a long time, you know, and I'm sorry, but it's an addiction. It really is. And you'll get over it one day, one way or another.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you really start taking all of that in. It's like, there's no one to tell you how to do anything. The thought that, you know, there is this right way or correct way for someone to tell you, and this assumption that, you know, those wants, those preferences do lead to anything is a farce. It's always been a farce. And if there is this like next thing mentality at all times, like, you straight up miss your whole life, your entire life. For what? For what exactly? Like, what it, like, some thing that you think you can guarantee that you still can't guarantee that, no matter what. And having that expectation that it's gonna do something for you, it doesn't actually play out like that. It's rare. It's very rare, and it's no guarantee whatsoever. But the guarantee is that you miss the experience that you're having right now. That's the only thing you can guarantee as you continue to focus and prioritize, you know, that preference, that need to get something across in a certain way, in a specific way that's curated, that you have to maintain and keep under control. It's like you don't have to do that, but that goes for, you know, every component of your life, everything that you do, you know, the things you prioritize, focus on it. Yeah, there's no way to avoid yourself.
But it's not the self you're thinking about.
No,
that's the thing. Like, that's his argument here. Yeah. It's like, right, there's no truth. There's no right and wrong. There's only the self and being. The self you're thinking about is not the self that you are. Yeah. Like, that's the point. Like, if it would be more accurate to say to yourself, there is only attention and empathy. That's reality. It's your attention on this moment and your willingness to be authentic and vulnerable. Not as a thought, not as the image in your head, which is all you're focused on and all you're invested in, okay? But actually as just what you are. You know, and there's a big difference. But as soon as you think about it, that's not it. And you're so invested in that thought because you don't know how else to feel better. You don't know how else to feel valuable. If you're not self, then you're not accountable to anything. And again, that's ridiculous. Like, that, just because you're not thinking about a concept of yourself doesn't mean that suddenly you've ceased being influenced by reality. Like, this is what we were saying earlier. Like, you're so determined to have this idea of yourself that is being punished and guided and molded and all this stuff, that there's a constant organic interaction that's happening with you and reality all the time. And it always has been happening. Do you understand that you were learning things before you had an idea of yourself? Do you understand that you were learning things before you had concepts for things? You know, do you spend much time around children? You know, there is a mentality that you're so lost in that you've actually forgotten where you started. And you keep regurgitating things that you've read. And it's funny, but like, physical reality is not prime reality. It doesn't mean anything, man. Like, all you're doing is just, again, more cerebral masturbation for the sake of feeling like you know something. But at the end of the day, you don't. And everything you're pretending you're knowing is the root of your suffering.
Yeah, reinforcing that perspective, like my perspective. Oh, this is the right way. And I know it because I've held on to it and focus on it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't guarantee anything. It doesn't guarantee anything at all. But it reinforces, yeah, that perspective that's keeping you focused, keeping you, mm-hmm. No, you claim to know. But it's in that. It's in knowing that I don't, because anything that I do believe that I could know, I don't. You know? Like, I can't.
Well, this is a good example. How did creation get here then? How do you know it hasn't always been here? In which case, it's not really created, is it?
Yeah, because there isn't a guarantee of anything previously, even. Like, how do you know that it hasn't Yeah. Because if there was even a, you know, the thought of a beginning, like before that, like another beginning, an end, it's like there isn't a disconnect there either. So, yeah.
Creation is proof of a creator. Again, you keep implying that this had a beginning, but there is no non-existence. There is no non-existence whatsoever. So if existence has always been here, it doesn't need a creator, does it? But you don't like that thought because that means there's no guiding force and that it's on you and your ability to align. Right? And that's the whole point. All of this just comes down to a lack of faith in yourself. It's really all it is. It's why you want to believe in these concepts and these illusions, because they make you feel safe. You know, and the alternative is actually to be in reality as reality. And it's funny because you're like, oh, it's short term. You're a blip in a cosmic thing. It's like, you know, if you let all that shit go, you'd be amazed how much your life feels like being in eternity. You really would. But wow, you keep focusing on the end and it's just drawing you to it that much faster.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You have faith in yourself, just like the serpent narrative. Have you not listened to that serpent narrative? The whole point was he's like, God doesn't want you to be as much as them. They weren't having faith in themselves. What are you talking about? Have you even read the fucking book? Like, I've got to ask you, like, Satan's whole thing, or the serpent, because it wasn't Satan, but the serpent's whole point of view was God's more powerful. He doesn't want you to be as powerful as him because you're not enough on your own. Eat the knowledge of good and evil. That had nothing to do with faith in themselves and everything to do with the fact that they didn't feel like they were enough to begin with. I don't think you actually read the book.
He got the local Cliff Notes from his local church. No, absolutely. But that's why it's funny, because when I was a kid and I was going with my mom to church and going to different types, you know, it always felt like I was walking into one of the most hypocritical rooms I could walk into. Because as I'm sitting in there and they're telling me that, you know, you're supposed to embody compassion, you know, love your neighbor like your brother. And all I was seeing inside the church from almost everyone in there was a lot of judgment, a lot of trying to control other people, trying to force people to do things, not loving, not being empathetic, not being authentic. And so I absolutely checked out. I was like, I am all set with this. You guys are telling me that this is the way to be, but you're not embodying it. And so I didn't really want to listen to a bunch of hypocrites tell me how to do things the right way when they were doing things in a way that only benefited them. And if any book is advocating for slavery, if any book is advocating for, you know, being able to sell your daughter, if this book, this Bible is advocating for all of these things, I don't want anything to do with it. I'm all set, you know, and It's just that you know who created God in this conceptual God? We did. People did. And so other than that, other than the concept of this God that is lording over everyone, that, and it's so funny too, because when I was younger, I was like, okay, so let me just try to digest this. So this God knows everything, has all power, has all knowledge, and yet didn't know that Satan was gonna pull a 180 on him. This God knows everything and created people knowing that they were going to become sinners. So this is just a losing game. If you're telling me that this God has all this power, has all this knowledge, and yet created humans knowing that they would be tempted, knowing that they would be sinning, only to send them to hell for an eternity of punishment, that is so fucked up. Yeah. Because if he didn't know, and he's giving us the option. It's like, yeah, but you're giving us the option knowing which option we're going to take. So it's a losing game. So I think I'm all set. And I'm going to just let you run in circles. And when you're exhausted, let me know. Because I certainly remember feeling exhausted trying to jump through all these hoops, trying to be this good person and yet never being an honest one.
Mm. See, I always find this fascinating because it's like I was saying to somebody earlier today, never take advice on how to be happy from people who aren't happy. And what I find always amazing is that they're like, believe in God, believe in the word, have faith in the stuff I have faith in, and they're miserable. And yet what's funny is that we're all sitting here going, I feel absolutely connected to everything. Every moment is a stunning opportunity of unfolding awe and insight and revelation. Every moment is an opportunity to deepen the sense of empathy and enthusiasm I have for my existence as a whole. I never feel alone. I never feel judged. I never feel disconnected from everyone around me, even when their beliefs make them feel disconnected from me. Like all of the things that these believers believe in and never achieve, we are experiencing, and yet they think it's, they don't recognize, they're looking down at us and we're like, dude, like, I'm sorry to say, like, you're still reading the fucking pamphlet. I've been living the reality. Like, I feel all of the things that you're claiming God's going to make you feel one day, and yet your beliefs are taking you farther and farther and farther away from them. And it's so very sad, because they're like, oh, the devil, you're in league. You're going to suffer later. You're going to suffer later. You know, and it's just because they need to believe that. They genuinely need to believe that, because they don't understand that they're already experiencing eternal life. They don't understand that they're already experiencing all these things that are just concepts to them. They're just concepts. They're hollow words. It's lip service. And it's so very sad, because the reality is reality. It's not the things that they think about themselves. And yet they're so busy chasing illusions, because the illusions they've invested in make them feel like less, that they never recognize the connection they're looking for has been in front of them the entire time. And has nothing to do with belief. Why would God need you to believe? Think about it. Just fucking think about it. Okay? If God is everything, why would you need to believe in it? You don't need to believe in air. And it's still fucking obvious. Right? Like, that's the point. Maybe the concept you're believing in is more about you just self-soothing. Maybe the concept of God that you have is what's keeping you from the reality. Maybe the concept that you've got, of God that you have, is based on the concept of you that you have. And that's why you don't feel connected. That's why you feel like a sinner. That's why you feel like less, like you need forgiveness, like you've done something wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's all it is, because you feel you've done something wrong, therefore we must be. You know, you feel like you should be punished, therefore we deserve it too. You know, you feel like you can never find God, and therefore we must never have connected with the universe or reality, or my God. And it's just all projection based on the belief that makes you feel so alone and isolated unless somebody agrees with you. You know, like, you keep going back to all this esoterica, you know, creation and serpent and all that shit. And all I hear is somebody who's like, let's go back to thinking about fiction. I don't like this reality stuff. Let's go back to thinking about the fairy tale that makes me feel
bedtime story.
That's all it is. And it's what it is. It's the funniest fucking thing. You know, your concept of you and God is in Genesis. You're the same. Like, think for yourself. And I mean this sincerely, and I know I've talked to Christians. Do you not think you'd be able to understand or connect to God if the book wasn't there? You know, if that's the case, maybe your interpretation of the book is the reason that you're not. Because you keep trying to tell us what to believe, but you are suffering. You're lacking. That's not happening on this side. If anything, everything you're doing is quite comical. Kind of sad, don't get me wrong. It's a bittersweet kind of comedy, right? Because I know you're suffering. We've all been there. You know, but it's just, it's so sad. Like, you're so busy trying to make sense of a book, you're missing the reality that's in front of you in every moment of your life. Every moment of your life, you seem to think that God is so limited he had to leave a 2,000-year-old text behind. Like, you don't think you're experiencing it right now, the reality? Where do you think God is, if not here and now? You know, and yet you just think he stopped talking. It stopped talking. It's no longer communicating. Like, it's just the funniest fictional thing. But it's all based on wanting to fit in with people who agree with the same fictions, wanting some sense of security, wanting to know the dialogue that everybody in that community has. So you can feel like you fit in, like you're safe, like you know the right path. And it all just comes crashing down when anybody has the audacity to just be in reality and not take you seriously. And that's that. It's kind of sad. It's kind of funny too. I'm just saying. And the only reason it's kind of funny is because you can stop at any point. You can stop at any point. You can actually experience the reality of eternal life, the forgiveness that you're looking for, and recognizing that the judgments are your own. That's the thing. Like, you keep looking to God for forgiveness, but God's going to be like, you've been doing what you've been doing. Well done. It's pretty much it. You know, it's all your own judgment. It's all your own preferences. It's all your own belief in fiction, just so you can feel a little bit more valuable and less of a piece of shit. And again, like, all of that's just not reality. It's just a fiction you're involved in. And that's okay. You're welcome to do that. You know, you sound like a criminal, like, that doesn't believe in jail. You really got this hard on for being punished, eh?
Yep.
Seriously, because that, like, looking to something to tell you what to do, even, it's like, there's an experience there where you're not so much. And then it's like, there's a fullness to that. And spending time trying to convince someone of something like this, you know, convince someone that there's something you got to believe in, or there's some point that you're getting to, you know, in the future. It's like, that can go for any sort of authority figure at that point too, because then it's like, it's looking to someone else, to have this perspective of the right thing. And it's that perspective, you know, should Hitler be punished? Does he deserve punishment? It's like, it's the perspective that, you know, there is this objective right and wrong, and like knowing that, and just knowing something like, oh, that must be the case. Everything else fills in from there, because the entire spectrum. And it's not to say, like, that's such a go-to for people. It's mm-hmm. like, there is a reality of his experience that he was clearly suffering a ton for. And it's not to say that there aren't consequences to yourself as you do it.
Yeah. Right. I think this reveals the intention right here. You should write a book, because you know it all, don't you? You are obviously in competition with the book I think knows it all. I'm sorry. I just think that's fucking great. Yeah. Don't worry. We're not threatening the Bible. It's okay. Oh my God, that's funny. If you say we're trying to convince, what are you doing? We have a podcast. That's what this is. It's a show where we talk about, you know, not needing foolish beliefs just to feel a little bit better, not in fact needing to compare yourself and needing to feel right and needing to do all that. This is the show. This is what it's about. You don't have to stay, you know, but we do, is what we're saying, because we have a schedule and this is part of it. So you can linger as long as you like, but you're doing it for a reason. We're doing it because it's our job.
Mm-hmm. We don't force people to listen.
And you're funny.
Yeah, and we're not forcing people to listen. It's like, you can go. You don't have to listen. No one's trying to convince you to do anything. We are just sharing different perspectives, because at the end of the day, you know, I don't know for certain anything. I can't say anything with absolutes, without any doubt. You know, that's always going to be there. And so it's just, it just cracks me up to just think about, you know, how I remember being in this mindset. And when he brought up Hitler, it's like, okay, so you want to go straight to the punishing someone instead of looking at how we all helped create that Hitler. We don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about how we need to punish him. We don't need to talk about how we collectively have certain priorities and how those collective priorities help make people that are incredibly selfish, that are incredibly trying to take control. Because, you know, Hitler just descended from the fucking clouds. You know, we didn't help create him. He just descended from the clouds and started going after people.
Well, and he wasn't suffering at all, apparently, according to the comment. How do you know he was suffering? Because, you know, people who are happy often cause wars. And hate en masse. It's really typical of happy, fulfilled people. You'll notice that.
You know, Gandhi almost started a war, you know.
Right? I heard no, Buddha was a real dick at the bar.
Right?
I just want to say, we do have to wrap up here shortly, but everybody who's joined us, do remember, if you're interested in being part of Dualistic Unity, we're doing an investor presentation tomorrow. You can join us, dualisticunity.com/invest. Just let us know you're interested. If you can't make the presentation, we'll send you the video after the fact. And I'm really grateful for everybody who showed up in the chat today, because this is exactly why this conversation is so important. We actually don't recognize how far removed we are from reality. And there's a great deal of belief in thought and the fictional self and all this stuff and the sense of control. And it's so contradictory to everything that they claim they believe in terms of faith and humility and all that stuff. And there's none of it. There's none of it. It's all just security. It's all just another way to feel more valuable. And so this conversation is incredibly important because it is the dawning of another stage of maturity for humanity as a whole. It's not about believing in something that's right. It's about actually allowing yourself to be able to process more information and grow the fuck up. You know, and if you don't understand that, check out Jane Lovinger's Stages of Ego Development, because I think what you'll find is that religion is very much a teenager kind of thing to believe in, you know, and it's not something that's healthy in an actually psychologically developed human being, not an adult. You know, it's really not. Like, you're believing in it and you think that it's like, yes, this is the greatest thing. And all we see are people who are suffering. That's all we see are people who are desperately looking for an atrocity to justify the shit they believe in because they're afraid. You don't have to. There's nothing that, like, there's more to reality than the things that you think. And if you give yourself a chance to see that, you'd be amazed how much your life would change. But we're going to wrap up. We got about 60 seconds here. Join us tomorrow if you can. If you can't, we're going to see you in California. We're going to be April 11th to April 15th. One ticket left. King size bed. It is available. If you can join us, we would love to see you. We have a coupon code at the moment for $1,000 off. You can come to the California retreat, save $1,000 on that king bed, share a room with four dope people, all of which have their own single beds. You're not expected to curl up with them. But we're going to be playing pool, going for some nature walks, hanging out, smoking a fuck ton of weed. We've got some cannabis-infused drinks that have been sent to us by a sponsor, so that's going to be a lot of fun, too. And we're going to be recording an episode with all four of our co-hosts in the same location. If you want to ask some questions and be involved in that episode, you can do so. So we'll see you in California.
Hell yeah, looking forward to it. I am pumped for Thursday coming up, a couple days, gonna be a lot of fun. But this was a very, very enjoyable conversation. A lot of perspectives on these whole things, because it's not just, you know, God that people are looking to. It's authority in general. It's someone else to tell you the right thing to do, or the right way to act, or the right way to live. And immediately it comes with expectation. It comes with distracted consequences, you know, for yourself. It's you're interacting with yourself, and you're only doing things to yourself as you go. So trying to convince anyone of anything is just trying to convince yourself of that thing. So it's been a blast, but we're gonna get rolling and hop on Patreon in 15 minutes.
Thanks for joining us, Amanda.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Thank you, everybody. I had a blast.
And don't forget, episode of DU Real from last week will be coming out very shortly. We got a bunch, actually. Dualistic Unity Real from about halfway through March was just released today. So check that out. And we will see you all after the retreat if we don't see you on Patreon shortly. Take care, everyone.
Bye, everyone.